A child picks up a paintbrush and creates without hesitation. An expert picks up the same brush and sees only what's been done before. This is the quiet tragedy of mastery. The more we know, the less we see. Shunryu Suzuki's teachings, delivered to a small community in San Francisco in the 1960s, cut through this paradox with startling simplicity. His message wasn't about accumulating wisdom, but about recovering something we've lost, the fresh, uncluttered awareness we had before we learned to divide the world into categories. In beginner's mind, everything is possible. In expert's mind, the doors have already closed. What if the path forward isn't about knowing more, but about unlearning what we think we already know? Before you try to fix your thoughts, straighten your spine. This isn't metaphor, it's the foundation of everything that follows. When you sit in zazen, legs crossed and back upright, something shifts that has nothing to do with willpower or positive thinking. Your body remembers what your racing mind has forgotten, that you're already whole, already complete, already home. Think about how your entire day changes based on whether you're slouched over your phone or standing tall. That shift in posture isn't just physical, it's a statement about how you meet reality. When your body aligns, bones stacked, breath flowing, you're not trying to become enlightened. You're allowing what's already present to express itself. This is why Zen starts with sitting down and straightening up. The integrity of your posture becomes the integrity of your life. Right now, you're breathing. Air moves in, then out. Where do you end and the world begin? You're not a separate entity navigating through life. You're a swinging door, constantly opening between inner and outer, never stuck on either side. Watch your breath without controlling it. Notice how it dissolves the boundary between self and other. You're neither completely independent nor entirely dependent. You're interdependently independent, like everything else that exists. This understanding transforms everything. That difficult coworker isn't disturbing your peace. The disturbance is your own mind's activity, waves on your ocean. When you grasp this, external events lose their power. The breath has been with you since birth and will remain until death, the most consistent reminder that you're participating in something vast. By returning to this awareness, you discover that the walls between yourself and the world are more like curtains, there but not solid. We've got control backwards. Try holding water in a clenched fist. It escapes. Open your palm and it stays. This is Zen's paradox. True control emerges when you stop trying to control. During Zazen, thoughts arise. The untrained response is fighting or following them. Zen offers a third way. Acknowledge them and return to your breath. Not suppressing, not indulging, just noticing and releasing. This is control without controlling. Force creates resistance. When you allow thoughts to pass like clouds, natural spaciousness opens. This extends beyond meditation. Can you hold boundaries without rigidity? Pursue goals without attachment? Stand firm without inflexibility? This is Zen's art of control, poised readiness that neither grasps nor rejects. Like riding a bicycle, balance isn't static but dynamic, constantly adjusting. Next time you feel the urge to tighten your grip, create space instead. Return to your breath, straighten your posture, and discover what happens when you control by letting be. Your mind won't stop producing thoughts, ever. That's not a problem. Those waves of thinking, feeling, worrying, planning aren't disturbances to meditation. They're mind's natural activity, arising from the same source as stillness. The traffic jam, critical comment, unexpected bill, none create waves unless you allow them. The waves are always your mind's activity, your own ocean expressing itself. As practice deepens, waves don't disappear. They reveal the vast, unperturbed ocean beneath. This big mind, spacious awareness, contains all activity without being defined by it. Your fundamental nature remains clear despite mental turbulence. What if every emotion, every challenging thought was simply a wave on your ocean? Nothing needs pushing away or holding on to. This doesn't mean becoming emotionally flat. It means experiencing everything more fully because you're no longer fighting your experience. With consistent practice, this awareness grows naturally. The mind expands through intimate familiarity with its own nature, not by accumulating knowledge. This is the freedom Zen cultivates, not by escaping waves, but by recognizing them as inseparable from the ocean itself. A Zen story illustrates. The excellent horse runs before the whip touches its skin. The good horse runs at the touch. The poor horse runs when pain penetrates to the marrow. The worst horse doesn't move at all. Which horse are you? Most would choose the excellent horse, naturally talented, effortlessly responsive. But the worst horse may learn the most profound lessons. True Zen isn't about perfection. It's about faithful effort regardless of natural ability. The worst horse, precisely because it struggles, develops the greatest determination and deepest understanding. Its flaws become the gateway to insight. Consider where you feel like the worst horse, where progress seems slow and effort painful. These struggles are your greatest teachers. Your imperfections aren't obstacles, but opportunities to develop qualities that naturally gifted people might never discover. When you embrace the difficulties of practice, the wandering mind, aching knees, restless energy, you forge patience, resilience, and compassion beyond technique. This perspective liberates you from endless self-improvement. Instead of striving to become the excellent horse, embrace being exactly the horse you are, giving full effort in each moment without judgment or comparison. The next time you feel discouraged by your limitations, remember the worst horse. Your struggles aren't signs of failure, but opportunities for profound learning. Here's the paradox. While Zen practice leads to extraordinary awareness, the experience itself becomes nothing special. Many begin spiritual practice seeking peak experiences separate from everyday life, but Zen reveals the extraordinary within the ordinary. As practice deepens, Zazen becomes not a special activity, but simply an expression of your true nature, free from the desire to achieve anything. Through consistent practice, you see everything through its essence rather than through filters of delusion. The tree outside your window becomes a living manifestation of the same reality that you are. The initial excitement gives way to something more profound, recognizing that enlightenment isn't a spectacular state separate from ordinary life, but the clear seeing of ordinary life itself. Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. The activities don't change, but your relationship to them transforms completely. This unified simplicity demands continual practice, not something you achieve once, but a way of being you express moment by moment. The extraordinary becomes ordinary through integration, the sacred and mundane revealing themselves as never having been separate. What if cooking dinner, having a conversation, or walking down the street contained all the mystery and meaning you've been seeking elsewhere? In a world obsessed with achievement, Zen offers a radical alternative, the beginner's mind that contains infinite possibilities. This isn't about rejecting expertise, but approaching each moment with fresh eyes, uncluttered by what you think you already know. Every breath is an opportunity to start again. Your Buddha nature isn't something you need to acquire, it's something you need to stop covering up. So straighten your spine, follow your breath, let thoughts arise and pass like clouds. Don't try to control the waves, recognize yourself as the ocean. Embrace your struggles as teachers. Find the extraordinary in washing dishes, waiting in line, having difficult conversations. This is Zen practice, not an escape from ordinary life, but a complete engagement with it. Not a technique for self-improvement, but a return to your original nature. Not a goal to achieve, but a way of being to express, moment by moment, breath by breath. The door is always swinging. The question is, will you move with it?